Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech defense minister tells Russia the state is unable to hand over the statue of Marshal Koněv. The former Czech Railways director says that there was interest in PM's former media company to receive the biggest ad deals, and scientists have discovered the oldest cave drawing in the Czech Republic. The Czech Minister of Defense, Lubomír Metnar, says his country respects the Red Army soldiers who fell during the liberation of Czechoslovakia, but is unable to hand over a statue of Commander Ivan Koněv to Russia. The monument was removed by the Prague 6 District Authority in April, provoking anger in Moscow. In a letter to his Russian counterpart, Sergei Shoigu, Mr. Metnar said the statue of Koněv belonged to Prague 6 and did not fall under war graves, which the Czech state looks after. The Czech minister said planned consultations between the foreign ministers of the two countries could help overcome problems that have burdened relations recently. The former head of Czech Railways, Miroslav Kupec, said that there was interest in the media publishing company Mafra, owned by Agrofert, the business holding created by Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, to be, I quote, most busy, end quote, when asked by Czech Radio why the country's main rail transport provider issued advertising deals worth 112 million crowns in Mafra's publications in 2015, an amount considerably larger than was put towards advertising in other publications. Mr. Kupec was the director of Czech Railways from September 2018 to June 2019. He said that he was informed through multiple sources that the advertising contracts should continue when he was in charge, but said he did his utmost to lower expenditure on advertising. Czech Railways spent 7 times more on advertising in Mafra publications than in the country's other similar-sized media company, Czech News Centre. Blanka Halová from the Department of Marketing, Communications and Public Relations at Charles University told Czech Radio. The number of patients infected with the COVID-19 coronavirus around the centre of the outbreak in the Silesian Darkov mine rose to 119 as of Wednesday morning, according to the spokesman for Moravian Silesian hygienists, Radim Mudra. Out of these 119 people, 113 are employees of the mining complex, and doctors expect the number of registered infections among the family members to rise. Large-scale testing was ordered after the virus was discovered among the miners last week. The mine is already operating under strict hygienic measures, but more are to be put in place after the testing is concluded. Now, scientists have carbon-dated a recently discovered cave drawing to be 7,000 years old. It is located in the Katerinská cave of the Moravian Karst. The drawing is made up of simple black lines drawn on one of the rocks. It is believed the rock was used for some sort of cult purposes. It would be the oldest cave drawing in the Czech Republic. And as far as the weather is concerned, temperatures are expected to remain largely the same on Thursday, hovering between 17 to 21 degrees Celsius. Clear skies are likely above the northeast of the country, with clouds expected above the rest of the Czech Republic. My name is Tom McEncrow, and that is all the news for now.
Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International, and my name is Ian Willoughby. Today, a famous Prague church gets a new bell chime for the first time in over 100 years. New research has been mapping the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on the Czech art sector. And later we look at the Czech comics tradition from its beginnings almost a century ago to its current boom. All that's coming up in today's program. After more than 100 years, the historical bell chime at Prague's Loreto Church is getting a new melody. The song, entitled A Baroque Hymn, will be played on the 27-bell carillon for the first time on Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. Ruth Frankova has more.
Loreto is a Marian pilgrimage site not far from Prague Castle, with a Baroque Church of the Nativity and a replica of the Holy House surrounded by cloisters and chapels. It is best known for its Baroque Carillon, which plays the same melody every hour from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The bell chime, which was first heard on September 28, 1695, was a true rarity in Bohemia at the time of its creation. It is the oldest carillon of its kind in the Czech Republic, and similar ones can only be found in a few other places in the world, including Amsterdam, Berlin, Delft and Bruges. The Loreto carillon is connected to a complex clock mechanism, which has to be wound up every morning. It consists of a metal cylinder with pegs for setting various melodies. At the same time, the carillon can be controlled by means of a keyboard, on which various compositions are played to this day on special occasions, such as church holidays. Radek Rejšek has been in charge of the bell chime since the Velvet Revolution.
I play the instrument using my whole arms, not just my fingers, because that would be impossible.
For more than a century now, the Loreto carillon played the same melody, an old Marian song, says Marie Baštová, curator of collections at the Loreto.
It's a melody called A Thousand Times We Greet Thee, which is an old Marian song. We believe it hasn't been changed in at least 100 years. But it hasn't always been like that. We actually found a historical document from 1744 where a Franciscan custodian complains that the same melody has been playing for over 3 months, and that is disgrace.
So how come the tune hasn't been changed for such a long time, even though the carillon was designed to play various melodies? Mrs. Baštová offers her own explanation.
I guess that the people who knew how to change the tunes and who were brave enough to do it are all gone now, and the tradition has gradually died out. So, by doing this, we are trying to bring it back to life.
After more than a century, the old song will be finally replaced with a new one, a Baroque hymn called Maria Maria. To make it possible, Radek Rejšek has to disassemble the machine and rearrange the pegs in a different position. The new song of the Loreto carillon can be heard for the first time on Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock.
And that report was by Ruth Frankova. A research project mapping the effect of the coronavirus pandemic on the Czech cultural sector, from the fine arts to music and theatre, has just published its initial findings. The aim is not just to tally the financial losses, but also to help the sector navigate its gradual return to, and I quote, normal. Brian Kennedy reports.
Half a billion crowns in the month of March alone. That's how much the cultural sector lost in revenue in the first month of social distancing restrictions and outright closures. This according to ongoing research by Prague's Theatre Academy of Performing Arts, or DAMU, and the University of Economics, or VSHE. The joint project aims to map the long-term impacts of the pandemic on cultural organizations and individual artists and artisans. The data will then go to all relevant institutions, professional groups, researchers, and policymakers so they can take informed decisions. That means asking questions to get scores of quantifiable data points, explains research project leader Petr Prokop from DAMU's production department.
We are looking to determine how big a hit the cultural sector has taken during the crisis in terms of how much revenue they have lost. We are also trying to determine what the impact has been on artisans and employees of cultural organizations, whether there have been redundancies or salary cuts. We are also asking how well they were prepared for the crisis, whether they were in trouble before or it's a new development.
Data collected from over 300 entities include the number of employees or people on contract at an institution, their typical season and annual turnover, ticket sales, attendance, and visitation. The researchers have had the highest response rate from people working in the music field, which will be the most affected segment in the summer, if not already the spring, so says Jakub Grossman of VSHE's Art Management Department.
Když bychom se bavili o tom, že byly nějaké celkové náklady, od toho vezmeme.
If we look at the total cost to the cultural sector, so lost venue and expenses, it comes to half a billion crowns lost in the month of March alone. Looking at the theatre, music and fine arts segment, it's the music segment where we can see the most rapid and steep decline. That's partly because it is not as subsidized as, say, galleries and museums. Unlike with theatres, the main music festival season is in the summer, so the losses will soon be even more dramatic.
Míra toho průšvihu bude vyšší a vyšší směrem k létu.
Damus Petr Prokop adds that in the case of theatres, the immediate financial decline in March was less significant than expected, but estimates for April are already rising. The data show the impact on the theatre segment will be primarily of a long-term nature, at a time when costs are rising year on year and theatres were already stagnating financially. The data will be continued to be collected on a monthly basis, at least until autumn, and later on a quarterly basis. The joint Damu VCE research team hope to help answer whether artists, artisans and institutions have received sufficient support while anti-coronavirus restrictions are eased and eventually lifted.
That report was by Brian Kennedy. The latest edition of our series, Czech Books You Must Read, is not dedicated to any single publication, but instead to a whole literary genre. Join Ruth Frankova now as she traces the history of Czech comics, from their origins in the early 1920s through their struggles during the communist era to the successful comeback that they've made in recent years.
The Czech Books You Must Read.
Czech comics from Ferda the Ant to Zátopek and Cecil's Quest. For many years, comics in Czechoslovakia and later the Czech Republic was regarded as a genre for children. To this day, most people will probably associate it with the Four-Leaf Clover, a popular children's comic magazine, or the legendary Rapid Arrows, which have enjoyed a cult following since its first publication in the late 1930s to this day. But in recent years, comics has made something of a comeback, establishing itself as a respected literary genre for adult readership. So what are some of the most interesting graphic novels that have come out in recent years? And what topics are they dealing with? I discussed these and other questions with comics expert Pavel Kořínek, and I started by asking him about the origins of the genre.
Comics came to Czechoslovakia, or the Czech lands, because it came to this area before the establishment of Czechoslovakia or Czechoslovak Republic, at the same time as two other European countries. At the beginning of 20th century, there was a huge number of various pictorial series being published in society magazines and newspaper. And these one-time humor pages, humor sequential stories, slowly evolved into something more, into pictorial sequential series that we today call comics. If we try to establish founding stone of Czech comics, we oftentimes go back to 1922 when Josef Lada started publishing his comic strip, Funny Pranks of František Movísek and Kozel Bobeš, the first serialized comic story being published in Czech periodicals.
So what are some of the best-known comics from the pre-war Czechoslovakia?
In the interwar Czechoslovakia, there were several really popular comics or comic series, even though majority of these series were published in the latter part of the interwar period in the 30s and at the end of the 30s. Josef Lada is one of the most famous names, but also Ondřej Sekora, the artist and creator behind Ferda the Ant, these stories of the anthropomorphized ant that are hugely popular up to this day, even though not so much in comics form as in illustrated books. There were several funny animal stories like Puntia or other that had huge circulation at the time. And obviously the most famous Czech comics, not just of interwar period, but maybe of all times, were Fast Arrows. This story about the group of five boys living in the city and having their adventures on the streets and in the countryside on weekends, being filled with didactic exemplar and adventure thrills by Jaroslav Foglar and Jan Fischer. These stories started in 1938 and became probably the most famous comics of Czechoslovak 20th century.
How did the comics genre develop after the onset of the communist regime? Because, for example, the Rapid Arrows, as you mentioned, were actually banned during communism.
Yeah, I mean, communist regime was definitely not a huge fan of comics per se. So majority of comics were banned or ceased publication. Comics were perceived at the time as something that does not fit in the new communist Czechoslovak state. So in the 50s, comics were nearly non-present in Czech periodicals. After that, there were some attempts to revive comics, and in the 60s and in the 70s, there was quite a lot of comic series being published, but comics were tamed, were reglemented at the time. There were no comics for adult readers. There were just comics for children being published in kids' magazines. There were no huge adventure stories. There were just few allowed genres, like everyday fun animals or some tame science fiction stories. But comics in the 60s, 70s, and 80s were really strongly censored or were perceived as something that is somehow allowed but has to fit in into these groups that were allowed.
So what happened to the genre after the fall of the Iron Curtain, after 1989? How long did it take before it was established and regarded again as a sort of fully fledged literary genre?
I mean, that was a really strange intermission following the fall of the Iron Curtain, because comics came back to Czechoslovakia immediately. In 1990, just a few months after the Velvet Revolution, we had dozens of comic projects and comic magazines being published in Czech context. Foreign translated series came to Czechoslovakia, like Mickey Mouse and Spider-Man and all these superhero and fun animal stories. But after a few more years, majority of these comics ceased publication once again, because after 1989, publishers, artists, editors thought that comics, since it was banned before, will be this immediate success for them, that comics will earn them a huge amount of money and huge amount of popularity, which was not the case. Comics were always niche cultural sphere. Comics were always something that was not for everyone. And in second half of the 1990s, this was quite visible once again. When we take a look at the contemporary comics, I think that we can find its roots in the year 2000 or the years around the break of the millennia. That's when the new generation of artists started publishing their works, even though at first only in subcultural fanzines without any commercial gain for them. And that's when the new generation started, and that's when the contemporary stars of Czech comics started publication.
So who, according to you, are some of the most distinctive authors to appear on the Czech comic scene in recent years?
I mean, there are these long-established stars who started publication in the years following 2000, like Jiří Grus, Karel Jerý, Tomáš Kučerovský, Toy Box, Lucie Lomová. These are some of the huge names of Czech comics. But fortunately, Czech comic scene is living through its better times right now. So there are new artists emerging every year, and there are new stars being born in the field of Czech comics. I think that some of these names I mentioned, Toy Box, Jiří Grus, Tomáš Kučerovský, Lucie Lomová, are really these huge personas of Czech comics. But there's a wide variety of other artists and authors who are publishing their works. There is now a possibility for them to publish their books commercially in proper publishing houses. So the situation on the Czech comic scene right now is quite good, I think.
And can we actually trace any common themes or topics that are explored in contemporary Czech comics?
That's a difficult question. I think that it's really hard to establish something typical for contemporary Czech comics, because since Czech comics of these days grew from these subcultural roots, it doesn't really have this unified style. Each artist has its own visual style, has its own approach to comics medium, so there is no mainstream, per se, in Czech comics. We can probably change the question and ask what is missing from Czech comics. And there are some interesting omissions on the Czech comics scene. We don't have that much autobiography in comics, which is quite a common genre in European comics these days. If there is something that is typical for new Czech comics, I think, then it is its will to experiment, its will to try new ways, how to present a story, establish an atmosphere, tell something via pictures and speech balloons.
So can you give us some examples?
I mean, when we take a look at the winners of the Muriel Awards, which is Czech Comic Award from the last few years, you see some really interesting works. You see works by Vojtěch Mašek, who is the big star of Czech comic script writing right now. And he wrote or co-authored several graphic novels that are really interesting and really something new on a Czech comic scene. When you take a look at his comic, Detail Sisters, you have this surreal graphic novel that somehow works with the topics of identity, of these power plays that people play between themselves, of this willingness to do something terrible to someone else just for personal gain. And also, you can take a look at Svatá Barbora, Saint Barbara, this really interesting comic thriller about this never-solved criminal case, true crime case from Czech context. There was this ominous crime about 10 or 12 years ago that was never explained, never solved. And this graphic novel takes this case and builds upon it a specific narration on some possession of journalists in search of the truth and what the search of the truth can do with us in our everyday lives.
Unfortunately, none of Mašek's books has yet been translated into English. Is it because of the choice of topics, or is it because the English-speaking comics book market is so competitive and hard to reach?
I think the latter option is the right one. I think that to publish on English market, to publish comics on English market, is really difficult, not just for Czech artists, but for artists from all around the world. I mean, English and English-speaking countries have a huge amount of domestic comics. And the percentage of translated material that is present on these markets is really low. So Czech comics are nowadays quite often translated to several languages. There's quite a lot of Czech comics in Polish. There are some Czech comics being available in French. But there are nearly no graphic novels and comics from Czech Republic available in English. Hopefully this will change. There are some plans for next few months, but we'll see what the COVID-19 situation will do with these publication plans abroad.
Our series is called The Czech Books You Must Read. So out of the few Czech comic books that were translated into English, which one would you recommend to English-speaking readers?
There were several books by Jaromír Švédík. His graphic biography of Emil Zátopek, the famous runner from the 1950s and 1960s, was published in English by Self-Made Hero, and it's a really interesting piece of graphic biography about a huge Olympic legend that somehow formed the idea of Czech Olympic sports in the second half of the 20th century. There was one book by František Skála, who is not this common Czech comic artist. He's much more known as a fine artist. But he has this beautiful book of photo comics in which he narrates this story of Cílek and Lída. And he took these puppets made from small branches and leaves and everything found in the nature. And he puts these figures into several forest scenes and he constructs a narrative based on their stories. That's a beautiful book that was published several years ago under the title Cecil's Quest. There is also one anthology called We Are Still at War, which is this project that took together Czech comic artists with people from post-bellum non-governmental organization that tries to archive oral narratives and memories on the 20th century. In We Are Still at War, you get 12 or 13 stories based on the memories of Czech people about 20th century and these totalitarian regimes in it. But it can also serve as a sampler of Czech comic artists of some kind.
And that was comics expert Pavel Kosinek, who was speaking to my colleague Ruth Frankova. And you can find previous editions of our series Czech Books You Must Read on our website. That's radio.cz. But I'm afraid that's all from Radio Prague International for today. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and speak to you again very soon.